This Global IQ Minute is with Alvaro Uribe, who served as Colombia's president from 2002 to 2010. Listen now to hear his thoughts on drug legalization, the FARC, and what the free trade agreement with the United States will mean for our two countries.
Thank you so much for being our guest on Global IQ Minute.
Thank you. It is a great pleasure, and my gratitude to you and to my dear friend, President Fox.
It's always a delight to have President Fox with us, and we're so honored to be a part of the Fox Presidential Series. My first question would be, despite strong opposition from the U.S. labor movement, it is expected that the long-awaited free trade agreement between the United States and Colombia will take effect very soon. In fact, next month on May 15th, if all goes as planned. What do you expect to be its impact?
Colombia has the third largest population in Latin America, after Brazil and Mexico, the fourth economy, and is going to be the third economy in 2-3 years. It's very important as an economic destination, as economic country, and politically it's very, very important because Colombia has been a country with the rule of law, with all the democratic values, and a close friend of democratic countries, such as the United States. I have the impression that because of the economic situation in the world, our exports won't increase dramatically in the coming years, but having the ratification of the free trade agreement by the United States Congress and the implementation by the Obama administration is a very strong signal for people all over the world to look at Colombia as destination for investment.
Very good. There were, at the recent summit meeting held earlier this month in Cartagena, discussion was held on strategies to tackle what many people considered the failed war on drugs. Our friend Vicente Fox has called for legalization of most drugs. What is your stand on this important issue?
Colombia has not won yet, but Colombia is winning. When I assumed the presidency, Colombia could have had more than 400,000 hectares of coca leaves. At the final of my presidency, Colombia had 60,000 hectares. Colombia used to export 1,000 tons. At the end of our government, less than 200. Colombia is making significant progress. I agree that we cannot take addicts to jail. They should be taken to hospital, but for doing this, it is not necessary to legalize. Legalization is a way to give much more impunity to distributors.
So you're looking for a middle road?
In Colombia, our constitutional amendment says addicts never to jail. Small farmers never to jail. Distributors always to jail. Therefore, we consider this is a right policy. We don't need to legalize illicit drugs. It is very important to consider that illicit drugs are alienating drugs. And where the human beings are alienated, they lose their freedom and the possibility to control their own will is the main characteristic of human beings. Therefore, alienating drugs are elements to enslave human beings.
But still, for the farmers, growing drugs is certainly more profitable. How do you encourage farmers to move to alternative crops?
You need authority and at the same time alternatives. For instance, Colombia is a country with 53% of the territory is still in rainforest. Illicit drugs have destroyed 2 million hectares of our jungle, of our rainforest. Colombia is a country, part of Colombia is located on the Amazon basin. Therefore, what we did was to come to terms with almost 100,000 farmers, small farmers, peasant communities, rural communities. They agreed to abandon illicit drugs, to supervise the rainforest recovery, to be monitored by United Nations. And when United Nations reported to us that the farmers were fulfilling their obligations, my government paid to them. We call this project Forest Guard Families.
According to a recent report in The Economist, the FARC guerrillas, though greatly reduced, still are a force. I've read that there are perhaps 9,000 fighters still active. Are you in favor of reintegration or reconciliation with these fighters, and how successful is that?
During my administration, we advanced a lot. Colombia had more than 60,000 members in all the terrorist groups.
Is this 9,000 number, is that an accurate number?
At the end of my administration, there was a reduced number, fewer than this, the total amount of members. I don't know why this new amount. But what we did was to dismantle them. To dismantle them, you need to go after them with all the severity, to give them possibilities to reinsert, and at the same time to advance with social policies to avoid new recruitments. Of course, it is necessary to realize that we cannot give amnesty or pardon to those involved in crimes against the humanity. We cannot convert them into candidates for the presidency or for Congress. Therefore, we have a lot of limitations to negotiate with them. For I prefer not to negotiate with them. There are ways for them to submit to the Justice Administration.
Are you hopeful that relations between Colombia and Venezuela will improve under a new administration if Hugo Chavez is no longer president?
It depends on the possibility that Venezuela recovers the path of democratic values. Venezuela is no longer a rule of law. Venezuela is suffering a huge increase in insecurity. Look at the number of killings. Venezuela no longer respects private initiative. More than 600 corporations have been expropriated by President Chavez. Although President Chavez has implemented the policy of missions to help the poorest people, in my opinion, this policy is not sustainable in the long term, because even though they have oil, in the absence of private investors, no social policy is sustainable in the long term.
And their production has certainly declined recently.
Of course. Venezuela has eliminated the independence among the institutions. And Venezuela, state by state, is vanished. Is eliminating the freedom for pluralistic participation. Every day you see the consolidation of the governmental monopoly of media. And when the government monopolizes media, therefore you no longer have media. What you have is only a tool for government propaganda. And at the same time, the private independent media is going down. What was my main source of conflict with President Chavez? Because during my administration, I vindicated the principle that my fellow Colombians have the right that no neighboring countries give terrorists hide. Therefore, I disagree with the possibility that President Chavez are giving guerrillas to choose hideouts in the territory of Venezuela. This is a clear violation of the Charter of United Nations, of several resolutions of the Organization of American States.
While you were president, you were certainly a strong ally of the United States in the war against terrorism.
And the United States was very helpful with us. There was what I can call a bipartisan policy. This policy began with President Clinton and President Bush gave all the continuation. And I had the possibility to work during 1.5 years with President Obama. And he gave continuity to this policy.
Well, I wish we could talk longer, but I know there are lots of people here waiting to meet with you. Thank you so much for being a guest on Global IQ Minute.
Thank you. Thank you very much.